Okay, my name is Chris Andermast. I work for Tobania. You can see our sponsor banner over there. And this session in the afternoon, the first one, is going to be about Microsoft Edge and what we can do on Windows 10. So first of all, perhaps you already know about it, but at Windows 10, we introduced from Microsoft a completely new browser, Microsoft Edge. It's built completely from the bottom up, and it's replacing actually IE11. Okay, still some people coming in. Okay. The big difference between IE11 and the new Microsoft Edge is it's a completely new engine. It's completely constantly up to date, so whenever you start it up, you know you're going to be having the best performing and most up-to-date browser you can imagine on the Microsoft platform. Of course, IE11 is still there, because sometimes you have to go to like legacy sites that need ActiveX or Silverlight still to be run. So there's still your backup over there. Note that IE11 is not heavily, is not developed anymore, so it's at a standstill. While Microsoft Edge is really having a lot of attention from Microsoft, and it's constantly being updated. That's also what we call the evergreen browser. So in the back end, on the back, you always know that Microsoft Edge is constantly getting updated. It's not like the past anymore, where you had to wait for like a couple of years before you had like a new version of IE, like IE 6 or 7 or perhaps 8. No, this is constantly up to date. Going about performances, by the way, everyone can see this in the back and can hear me in the back. Okay, super. Of course, we also did some tests because everyone is interested in performance. Which car performs better, Ferrari or Bugatti? Or which browser is performing better? So this is a test by Apple. It's called the Jetstream Benchmark. And as you can see, Microsoft Edge is already way better than IE11. Also, it's on par, at least, and these numbers constantly vary, of course, because everyone is constantly bringing out new browsers, new versions, new updates constantly. This is the evergreen browser era. But Microsoft Edge is really doing pretty well. Also, Google has such a benchmark. And as you can see over there, Microsoft Edge is twice as good as IE11. So that's pretty remarkable, especially seen in the light that these benchmarks were taken when Microsoft Edge was still at the end of their beta stadium. So I think this is already pretty promising. And we will see, of course, an increase in performance, stability in the coming years. Also on this part, even in the Google benchmark, it's also outperforming at the moment Google Chrome and Safari and Firefox. So that's pretty amazing. Every browser is known by a server thanks to its user string. Every browser just sends like a string to each request to a server, like, hey, I'm this kind of browser. At the moment, a lot of server-side technology, like say, for example, ASP.NET, is sniffing those user strings and knows like, ah, okay, this is a mobile version of on an Android version. Or for example, the latest new Google Chrome. Perhaps I can optimize some of the HTML that I'm sending back to that browser. You actually don't always want that from a browser point of view, because sometimes some browser, like say for example Google Chrome or Safari, is getting a better content than for example IE or Edge. So that's why at Microsoft it's been decided to add some extra stuff to the user string, as you can see on this slide. And this is not new. Actually, every major browser vendor has been doing that. So everything what you can see here on my left in red is actually a big fat lie, because Safari is not Mozilla 5. And as you can see, Google Chrome is most likely not Safari, because that's from Apple. But thanks to this, it's now possible to actually get more and better content. Because as you can see, this is the mobile version of some of the browsers, like Safari, Firefox, and Internet Explorer. You can see that the results are a bit different for this website. For Firefox, you already get something zoomed out. The best experience at the moment is Safari, because there you get like a responsive website, actually the thing that you want on a small screen. And you could see that Internet Explorer is getting actually the full content of the full website. Nothing responsive, just the full website. And this is actually not what you want, because you're filling on such a small screen. Okay, I heard that the Lumia 950 is now pretty big one, pretty interesting one. So thanks to that user agent dance and manipulation, we now also get the most optimized content on the mobile browser in Microsoft Edge. But it's not all about getting like even, or at least getting on par. No, it's actually also about being better. And Microsoft is also constantly heavily evolving in new features. In the Microsoft Edge browser, they added like 4,200 interoperability improvements. And being a web developer myself, I really love to see like things like HTTP2, HTML5, ECMAScript 6, which is the upcoming version of JavaScript, which hopefully lands next year. Also content security policy, which is also going to be a big hype. Everything is going to be in there. And every time something new comes out, because like ECMAScript 6 at the moment is still in heavily development, they're trying to land down the plane, but sometimes some things are not completely crystallized. But you know, once it's crystallized, that feature will be in Microsoft Edge. And not within 2 years. No, as soon as the developers have developed it, put it in the code base, it went through testing, because of course we need to test before we do something into production. But once it's there, you know it's going to be in there. It could be a month, perhaps 2 months, but not anymore 3 or 4 years, which is very frustrating for us as web developers in the past. Okay, so I've been introducing Microsoft Edge, and you might think like, okay, what's a browser has to do with Windows 10, because basically this is a Windows 10 developer day, right? Okay. This is Microsoft Edge, and two of the main parts that make it tick are Edge HTML, which is the rendering engine, and Chakra, which is the JavaScript engine. And it's blazingly fast. Actually, this is where the most investments are being done by any major browser vendor. How fast can you parse JavaScript? Because, say for example, 15 years ago, web pages perhaps used some like a non-click and something happened. Nowadays, we have single page applications with tens of thousands of lines of JavaScript, just calling some resource, but everything is running in the browser nowadays. Of course, so that's why they now heavily invest in this optimization. How fast can you render and parse JavaScript? The cool thing is, we can take Microsoft Edge, but we can also make it an app. Wouldn't it be cool if you could just like have your HTML and CSS and images, JavaScript, something that you heavily invested in, like for example, like a 5 month project, and you can make it an app with not too much effort. I think that's pretty amazing. What we had in Windows 8, because it was already offered there, is packaged content apps. This basically means that you could write your apps instead of C# and XAML or WPF, that you could also create it with HTML5 and JavaScript. This was already possible. What we now added is hosted web apps. So basically, we constantly fetch the latest information from the internet, from a server, constantly live, up to date. If it's an update on the server, you will get it on your app. And in the middle, of course, we need something to make it tick, and that's the web view component. So let's talk about those packaged content apps, because they've already been around for like a couple of years now. And of course, Microsoft is very good at making very good IDEs. The best one is still Visual Studio. I hope everyone installed Visual Studio 2015 today, which is the latest version. But this was already around in 2013. And Microsoft opted to go for the open source Cordova solution. So basically what you can do as a developer is just create your application, run it in Cordova, package it, and put it in the store. And I believe Gil is later on today going to present about monetization and packaging stuff and putting those in the store. So be ready for that session also. Yeah, indeed, a teaser. The thing in the middle is actually perhaps a bit less of a concern at the moment. It's basically the component which makes everything tick. And the great thing about it is, as long as you run it as an app on your Windows development machine, or just on your Windows 10 machine, you can even from JavaScript call out to C# or C++ components that you wrote, or one of your colleagues wrote, who is less involved in JavaScript. So both worlds are actually coming together, and that's pretty neat. The WebView control, you can always make sure that's always the latest and greatest HTML rendering engine that you know from the Edge browser. So it's constantly whatever you make, like it's a web page that you see or a app, it's always going to make use of this. Also, if you make, for example, a WPF application and you want to show a website inside it, like through a web component, it will also make use of the same Edge HTML rendering engine. And now about a new thing, hosted web apps. The first time I heard about it, I was pretty much excited because finally, the stuff that I'm creating as a web developer, I can now also put as an app in a very easy way. So I don't have to learn some exotic C# or C++ variant or Java or whatever. No, I can just, with the same tools that I've always been using, create apps in a pretty easy way. The way this works is actually I have an app, which is basically a small container. Every time you start it up, it will fetch information from your live server. So always getting that latest and greatest information that you put on your website. Of course, thanks to the WebView control that we saw earlier, there in the middle between those two circles, I can also start making mixes. So I could put some stuff offline completely, but I can also later on, whenever I want to choose like information or get some extra updates, like say for example the marketing department is every day making like a blog post and I want to show it on my app, I can also mix that into my app now. And because it runs in a sandboxed and secure way, I can also grant access to Windows APIs. So now from my web pages, and we'll see that later on, I can now also call, like, for example, notifications. I can interact with tiles. I can make use of the people picker. All pretty neat stuff. I see everyone is already having their laptop ready, and I think it's about time to start up Visual Studio. Because I'm going to show now the lab about hosted web apps. One small remark, depending on when you downloaded from GitHub the hands-on labs, there's a small discrepancy. This app, this lab was still in full flux. So the first time I downloaded this, it was the September version, which is a completely different hands-on lab than the latest one. So be sure to check if you have October 2015 at the beginning of that lap. Otherwise, you want to re-download it. Okay, so I already opened Visual Studio 2015. And if you want to follow the lab, please do. It's a very nice one. You can open a new project. You go to JavaScript, Windows Universal, and here you have like the blank app. Everyone can see those on the screen? You can also follow on. You can also follow on the Word document if you want. Let's give this a new position to the location to plant. So let's make that PXL. And the name I'm giving it is Hosted Web Apps. You can have create a directory for the solution over here and press OK. Okay. One important thing to do over here at the top is to put it from any CPU to x86. And now quickly run it. Just to make sure that this is already running. If you see something like this on your screen, and actually this one, content goes here. So you first saw a splash screen, the big white one with a square on it. And this is actually the app what you're now seeing. So this is your base framework. If this is already working, we're on a good trim. Cool. What we're now going to do is, because this is basically what you would use as a basis to make content first, offline first apps, like we're already used to in Windows 8. For the hosted web app, there's a lot of stuff in here that we actually don't really need at this moment. So I'm going to delete the CSS, the JavaScript, the WinJS, and the default page. So these can be deleted permanently. What we now need to open is the apix manifest file. And what we're going to use is a CodePen website. Let me. This one's for later on. Okay. What I want to make use of is this CodePen file. If you're not used or familiar with CodePen, it's basically a website to quickly test out CSS or HTML and JavaScript. There are also some others, like for example JS Fiddle, but this is also a very nice one. So what I'm going to do here is in the apix manifest is instead of this default HTML, which I just deleted, is paste in this one. And then I have to go to content URIs. Perhaps let me quickly close this one. Because what we're now going to do is having those sandbox, those contained websites known to your Windows. So by default, it doesn't have any access to your Windows to your Windows machine. But what I'm now going to do it is give it all access. I'm also going to add a new URI. This is need for CodePen.io. Just the reason for that is because it's also making use of like lots of iframes and those things to render everything. So I also need that to have granted security clearance. And also give it all. If I now run it again and everything goes okay, I'm now going to see my app. This is basically the website. This is CodePen.io. This is a pen that I already created up front. So I got some HTML, which is rendering those buttons here on the left side, and some JavaScript on the right side. Let's tidy that one up. Here I have a button, which is called Toast Notification. If I go and check out the HTML part, you can see here on the onClick, it's going to call a JavaScript function, showToast. That showToast is here on the right side. And this is an important step, because I need to check, like, are the Win.js parts over there? Otherwise, it will not work. So if this is some not undefined, then I'm going to put on some specific Windows JavaScript to make a toast notification. And as Jill already explained in the former session, it will come here on the right button nowadays in Windows 10. I told you guys about the latest and greatest and constantly be up to date. So now here you see toast from CodePen. Now let's look that up here. And made that toast to PXL where we're standing today. Now, if I now do another toast notification, you can see here that the information has been changed directly. I also got here a camera capture. Yes, I can also go into the camera and make use of that. For that, I'm going to make use of a little small script which you can get out of the Word document, so no need to type this all. I just put it here conveniently for myself in a text document. And I can put it in here. Just make some space over here. Copy paste that in, tidy up a bit. And if everything goes okay, I have now camera access. So now I can manipulate it. That's pretty cool. And remember, this is all from a website. But because we're giving it access to our Windows machine, we're basically trusting it in a secure sandboxed environment, and this is vital that you understand this, I can make use of that. The hands-on lab, as I noticed, doesn't really do something with that picture, just like a nice comment. But whenever I see such a comment, I always want to try out something new. So what I did is just do a console.log. This is now being refreshed. And what I can do is open the F12 tools, because still behind the scenes, this is still a website. So I can make use of the F12 developer tools from my browser. And here my console log, whenever I capture my camera again, okay, let's save that. So now it has been saved, but basically I have totally no clue where. But because I captured this information, I can now see what happened to that captured item object in JavaScript. So I can open that up. And here I see a path, which is always interesting. And as you can see, this is like some GUID on my in-between, so really randomized. And I can get this one. Now open up a new file explorer. Paste that in. And there are my two pictures. So as you can see, this is contained, just like you would expect from an app. So that's pretty neat. Perhaps you want to do something else with those pictures, I don't know. But the hands-on lab doesn't go that far, so I really wanted to take it like one bit further, and just out of curiosity, I wanted to see where it ended up. Of course, you can see here that the icon is not really that very fancy, so let's try to make up for that. I'm going to close this one. And again, into my Apex manifest file, I can now go to Visual Assets. And I need to set here a couple of assets. So I'm going to put here, and I put this on my desktop. Those images, what I'm now about to enter, can be found in the lab's files, which you can download from GitHub. So let me see here. This was the 71. Okay. The 150. Yes, I want to replace it. For the people who are not knowing why I got this, in my Solution Explorer, I kept my images folder, so I didn't delete that. That's why it was asking, like, can I please overwrite it? And here on the 44 logo, I'm going to take this one. Yes, overwrite. And also for the splash screen. Because in the beginning, we saw that big square, and it's not really, like, visually entertaining. So let's make that a bit better. Oh, no, I don't want this. And of course, always bad things happen up during a demo. Okay, let's get this one. And I also want to give it like a fancy nice color, because now everything is transparent, as you can see over here. It's not really that nice. So let's make that deep sky blue. That already looks way more appealing. Sky. Blue. Save that. Run it again. So this is my new splash screen. It looks already visually way more appealing. The next part of the demo is actually adding a new button. So what I'm going to do here is just typing a new button and give that file. So as you can see, thanks to CodePen, I can directly see whenever I type here, like a couple of seconds later, I get here an updated version of my HTML. And I'm going to give that an on click, because of course I also want to do something with it. And let's make that update tile. Yet again, I'm not going to type in everything in this. I'm just going to copy paste it. You can also copy paste it from the Word document that you have for those who are following along. And here I need to call my JavaScript function, and I'm going to make some place over here and paste that in. I don't see any JavaScript errors, so normally I'm good to go. Now, if I want to see the tile, because I haven't pinned it yet, I can show it over here. So for that, I'm going to all apps. And I don't know if you know this nice little feature of Windows 10, But if you click on one of those letters, you get an overview. So now I can easily go to my age, where I get the name of my application that I just created, which was Hosted Web App. If you gave it another name, please look it up under that exact name. So I can now right-click it, say, pin it to start, and here I got my fancy-looking tile. Now, this small code is again having access to the Windows runtime environment. So if I now click Update Tile, and click it over here, you saw that a randomized image has been put here. And I got some fancy animation. Of course, demo message is a bit dull. So I'm going to try to find that part over here. And how shall I call it? Hello. Win10. DevDay, I believe, is the hashtag now today on Twitter. So let's try that again. Update tile. And now my message, hopefully, gets updated. Let's see. To hello, Win10 DevDay. Of course, there is a small ellipsis because my image, the length, was a bit long, but as you can see, whenever I update my website, the HTML, the JavaScript, I directly get it updated also in my Windows 10 experience. For the people following along on the hands-on lab, everything is still working okay so far? Okay, I see people nodding, that's pretty good. I'm now going to close this one. And I can also turn down this one. So far, I've been using Visual Studio. And that's pretty neat. But there's something new coming up nowadays. It's a new W3C standard. So you know it's going to be implemented by basically everyone, sooner or later. And what this is just like a JSON format description of your website with the intent of how your app would look. This manifest file can also be uploaded to your website. So whenever someone wants to create a hosted web app from your website, or you want to do it on yourself, it can make use of this one. It's a standard, so there's going to be tools, there's going to be a lot of investment in this, so I think this is really something to look out for the coming years. And of course, Microsoft wouldn't be Microsoft if they didn't already put some effort in one of those tools that I mentioned. This tool is an open source tool, so if you feel you want to contribute to this, please do so. This is Manifold.js. It is based on top of Node.js. So if you hear Node.js, you know it can run on many platforms. Not only Windows, but also on a Mac, also on Linux. Every platform, every operating system that basically supports Node.js, this tool can be run. Microsoft is, of course, also heavily involved into this project. And actually, I found out myself because yesterday I was trying this on another laptop. I got a big failure in the beginning. I created an issue on GitHub. And within, like, I think 25 minutes, I got an answer. So the people are really heavily involved. What this does is basically generate from your website potential container applications, not only for Windows, but also for Android, iOS, Google Chrome extensions, Firefox extensions, and whatever might come up in, let's say, now and in the coming years. I would also like to demo that. And the demo that I'm going to show, that I'm going to make use of, is called Travel Contoso. It runs on Azure websites, or Azure Web Apps, sorry, by the new rename. So I don't need Visual Studio anymore. I told you it's based on Node.js, so I can also run it on a Mac. But because I want to show the Windows version, because after all, this is Windows 10 Developer Day, I'm going to run it on my Windows 10 machine. I already installed Node.js on this machine, and I can open up the command prompt. By the way, I don't know if you already tried out the new command prompt in Windows 10, but finally, Control V works, so you don't get that caret V exclamation mark anymore. And also, you can make it transparent now. Pretty neat feature. Okay. Yeah, with alternatives. Okay. So what I want to create now is a new folder. So let's say PXL hands-on lab. No, I don't want to go in there. Okay. So now nothing is in, okay? I also installed Manifold.js on this device on a global scale, so it's also being known by the path. So whenever I now call Manifold.js, Node.js will be run behind the scenes. And I just simply type in here websites.net, our URL. So basically what I'm now going to do is take this website and try to make it into an app. Let me check. Travel Contoso at your websites.net, okay. So what's now going to do is just like read out that manifest file. It's most likely going to give a couple of warnings because not every icon is in there. And now it's generating the base templates of which you can later on create like an iOS app or a Google Chrome extension or an Android app or a Windows 10 app. So this has run. Let's quickly see what's now in the directory. So here's just Travel Contoso. So if you want to have more apps, you can do it from the same base PXL whole directory. So let's go here to Travel Contoso. Show it's over here, and just as I mentioned, here I got base templates for Android, Chrome, Cordova apps, iOS, something for web, and Windows. That's pretty amazing because I just had to type like one line and everything is being generated already for me. As a developer, I like such stuff because I can concentrate more on the interesting part. Now what I can do is Manifold.js run for Windows. And if everything works out, PowerShell is going to start up. Things are being read out, manifest files, being packaged, and installed on my Windows machine. So with not too much effort, I got myself an app which I can put in the store. Perhaps I can put some extra ads on it and monetize on it. So this small app that I wanted to show is, of course, about traveling. On Saturday, I'm flying to Seattle. So I can pick here my dates. So I'm going to fly out on the 31st. And I'm coming back 1 week later. And now I can confirm that. Did you just see what I did? I just picked up here this small button, choose a friend, because I want to take someone along, because traveling alone is not always that fun. But this is the people picker from Microsoft Windows itself. So I have direct interaction with my Windows machine. And of course, my wife would be very upset if I didn't take her. So I'm going to confirm my small trip to the US over here. And I can also add it to the calendar. Again, the calendar app from Windows 10. So I can accept this one. And as you can see over here, I have this now one in my calendar app. And of course, I like notifications. So it now says, hey, pack your bags because you're going on a trip to the US. Have fun. I found out after a while, because I tried, of course, this demo a couple of times, that sometimes this toast notification didn't show up anymore. The remedy for that is go here to the center and say clear all. This kind of bit me in the beginning because it was working like a couple of times and all of a sudden it stopped working for me. And I was like, what's going on? I didn't change any line of code. So this is something to be aware of. Something else to be aware of is when I installed Windows 10 on this machine, it was a fresh install. And in the beginning, in one of those screens, when you have the installation of Windows 10, you can opt if this is going to be a developer machine. Of course, my main profession is development, besides architecturing applications. And so I opted this to be a developer machine. On the other hand, I also had a backup laptop with me. And that had originally, it was an older Surface 1 Pro. It had Windows 8.1 installed, and I upgraded it last week. And yesterday, I also wanted to try the same demo on that machine. And it completely failed on me. So I was going like, what's going on? What's going on? Because I opened several things. I looked at firewall settings, whatever. It was not working. The solution at the end turned out to be I had to go to settings, and let me quickly show that here. And use the developer mode. Thanks to upgrading my Windows 8 machine to a Windows 10 machine, it's by default set as don't use developer features. So I'm not allowed to sideload applications on my development machine. If you find yourself in the same situation, this is the place that you want to check out. Otherwise, you might be in for a small search around your machine, checking all kinds of settings. And well, it wasn't really obvious for me in the beginning that this was the discrepancy between those two. Good thing this is pretty neat to have such web-hosted apps. I personally think it is, because now the development team that I'm working with, they're very versed into web development, but they're somewhat less versed into app development. Like, for example, they don't know Xamarin, they don't know native application development, but going with this, I can speed up development on those parts, get my applications already in the store, and perhaps later on opt to hire someone or to get another employee who's well-versed in a certain specific technology stack to recreate it. But at least I already have something in the market. I can already go to the market, sell my stuff, and if I find it perhaps like it's not the most ideal situation, I really want that native app written in Java or in what is it nowadays, Swift language on Apple, on Mac, doesn't work? Okay, thank you for that tip. So I don't want to invest time in that. Thank you for that. So now I can already go to the store, go to the market, and perhaps in like 1 year or a half a year, have a native app replacing that. But at least I already have something. I already have something to sell to my customers. Okay. And with that, I would like to conclude this session. I think I'm very much on time. That's pretty good, because that means that you can either take like a small break, I'm looking at Jan now, or that the next presenter can already come on stage.
No break?
No break? Oh. Ah, yeah, of course, I know. My good friend Yves is coming on stage, and he has like a very interesting hands-on lab, which is requiring a lot of network. So hopefully, he has now more time thanks to me stopping a bit earlier. Thank you all for attending, and have a nice day furthermore.